This is tape number 7737.
I was preparing my message this week out of Proverbs 21:2, where Solomon declared every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. I've just spent a couple of weeks with several of my grandchildren, and it's amazing when there is a disagreement between them, and one comes in to tell his story. How they are always right. They were doing the right thing. It was the other one that was bad. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And how when the other one comes in, you get an entirely different story. It wasn't their fault at all. It was the other one that was wrong. And how true it is. We can justify our positions, but God ponders the heart. And that's why we chose Psalm 139, where David said, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart." However, since it was Father's Day, I thought, well, that may not be a Father's Day sermon, and I'm not one for really choosing Father's Day sermons or Christmas sermons or whatever, but yet, Proverbs 22:6 seemed to be something that could be easily adapted to Father. So I changed horses in the middle of the stream. And I chose rather for my text Proverbs 22:6. Now tonight we'll be studying both Proverbs 21 and 22. And we do ask you to read them over and join with us this evening as we gather to study the Word of God. And then incidentally, this next week, Monday through Thursday, Monday beginning at noon and through Thursday, we're going to be having a conference here at the church for the pastors of the Calvary Chapels from all over the United States. And actually, there'll be pastors here from Japan, from Australia, from England and all. So if you would like to come and just enjoy some great teaching, some of our pastors are going to be sharing the book of Nehemiah with us, and you may enjoy coming this week. There will be each day and each evening seminars, classes, and all that I think that you'll find very enlightening and inspirational. So you're invited to come this week to the conference, if you are able to do so. But getting to the text, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Every child must be trained if they're to attain anything of value in life. We read in the Proverbs, a child left to himself will bring shame to his parents. You can't just let a child grow up. It is important that you train your children in the way that they should go. Now, in all of training, there is always an object in view. There's an ideal. There is a goal that you desire in training your children. So as you are training your young son, what is your goal? What is your desire for that son? You desire that he get a good education, that he gets a good job, becomes successful? Is that the goal of your training? If so, then how do you differ from the pagan? In the training of your daughter, is it your desire that she grow up to be a beautiful lady, well-educated, well-groomed, have a good marriage, a career, or a homemaker? If that is your goal for your daughter, then how do you differ from the heathen? As Christian parents, the primary goal of the training of our children should always be that they grow up with a relationship with Jesus Christ, that He will be first in their lives, that they will love Him and that they will serve Him. And that should be the thrust and the goal of all of the training that we have. It is more important than that they walk with Jesus Christ than they be successful in marriage or in business. For when you come to the end of the road, when you come to the end of the line, I feel that my life will be a failure if I don't meet my children in heaven. My training of them was wrong, was a failure. If they are not with me throughout eternity. And thus, the major desire that I have for my children is that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord in their lives. And that's the thrust behind the training. For what would it profit my child if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It is very important that you have more than a materialistic goal as you train your children. Jesus, speaking of the things of the material world around us, said, "After all of these things do the heathen seek, but you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." You should be much more concerned in what your child is and does than what your child does. The emphasis of the Scripture is not on the doing, it is on the being, what you are. And you should be interested in what your child becomes more than what he does. The training of a child not only must have a goal, but it requires personal discipline. You see, you become the role model for your children. They are going to learn about a father from what they observe in you. They're going to observe what a husband should be by what they see you being. And what you are will be far more important in the training of them than what you say. And unfortunately, many times there is a dichotomy here. We want to say to our children, "Do as I say, not as I do." But it doesn't work that way. what you do and what you are will have a much greater influence upon the training of your child than what you tell them they should do or they should be. As a dad, you're the hero in their eyes. They're watching how you eat, how you walk, how you pick your teeth, and they're going to copy you. They're learning from you how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to walk with Jesus Christ. So many people hope that they can train their child to be a better person than they are. Aware of your own shortcomings, you hope that you can train your child that they might become better than you. Now, it is true that children do often grow up to be a better person than their parents, but this does not come then from the parents, but it comes from training that they have received somewhere outside of the home. Maybe it was a godly Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a pastor who had an influence upon their lives that helped to direct them. But you cannot bring a person or train a person to be any better than you are. You say to your son, be pure. And yet if your life is filled with impurities, he's going to follow the example that he sees. A child quickly picks up on the hypocrisy of what a person says versus what a person does. When I was just about in second grade, there came a man to visit our home. He was a very outgoing, friendly sort. He came to our home in a chauffeur-driven Pierce Arrow. And I can remember the excitement of seeing the chauffeur open the door and he getting out with all of his... Well, you'd have to know my family to know just the show and pomp and the whole thing. And he came in and he kissed all of us kids, kissed my mother, kissed my dad, and spent a few minutes with us and said to us kids, never smoke. It's a horrible habit. And I'll give you gold watches on your 21st birthday if you never smoke. And he was soon gone. And my mother turned to my dad and said, who in the world was that? It's sort of like, who was that masked man, you know? And my dad said, oh, he's some cousin Pringle, you know, that... I never smoked, but I never saw him again. First time I ever saw him and last time I ever saw him in my life. But... when he left, I can remember saying to my mom, how come he tells us never to smoke when he was smoking the whole time he was here? How come he promised me a gold watch when I was 21 if I didn't smoke, and yet he was smoking? Because kids pick up on this kind of a dichotomy. They observe what you are doing, and that often and most of the time has a greater impression upon them than what you are saying. Now, training a child involves the recognition of certain facts about that child. It says, train up a child according to his way in some of the translations. That is, it's necessary to know and to recognize certain facts. There are two things that you need to remember as you look into the face, the beautiful face of that little child. Number one, the proverb says, the foolishness of the world is bound up in the heart of a child. Secondly, you need to realize that Jesus loves that little child so much that he died, that he might redeem that child from the power of sin. And that through that child's life, there are going to be two forces that are going to be vying to control that child. The forces of darkness and evil, the foolishness of the world that is bound up within his heart, and that influence of God's Holy Spirit that is going to seek to lead that child into the highest life, the life of the Spirit. And thus, in the training of the child, it is necessary that in that training we drive back and push back those forces of evil, that natural bent towards lying, towards deception. And we must, in the training of that child, seek to lead them to the spiritual pathway to Jesus Christ. I must seek to control the influences that come into that child's life as long as I can. I must see that the influences that come into the life are good, positive. You may say, well, I love rock music, and I just love to listen to rock music. You better listen carefully to the lyrics of that music, because your child is. And they're going to have a tremendous effect upon the forming of his ideas and character. Better that you surround your home with good music, Christian music. Have that kind of an environment, an atmosphere, that when the child comes home, there is music that will build up the spiritual side of the child rather than the fleshly side of the child. As I was growing up, my parents would never allow me to go to a show. I grew up in the little town of Ventura. And when the film Snow White came out, and there's nothing more innocuous than Snow White, some wealthy lady in Ventura saw the film, was so impressed by it that she paid the film theater there, she paid the theater, for all of the children in the public schools of Ventura to go see Snow White. And so all of the kids got out in the afternoon to go see Snow White. I was excused and I went home. Never went to a movie theater growing up. And I heard some people saying that they felt rather sorry for me, poor deprived little child, never went to the Saturday matinee, never got to go to the movies. But my mother, who was a very beautiful person, worked for a time in one of the movie studios and was approached to be in the movies. But in working there, she saw the lifestyle of those who were the Hollywood stars. She saw the corrupted lifestyles. And seeing behind the scenes in the lives of the people, she did not want us as children to be looking to them as our heroes or heroines. She didn't want me as a little boy to be falling in love with one of those female starlets of the day and have them as my example, or to see one of the swashbuckling heroes, Errol Flynn and the others, and to try to model my life after them, because she knew how corrupt was their lives. And in the movies, they're always made the heroes, the models. My mother used to say that she blamed Hollywood for so many women smoking, because in the movies they made smoking such a glamorous thing. These beautiful starlets sitting by the pool, you know, and it was such a sophisticated, glamorous thing to pull out a cigarette and have the man light it for her and all. And before that, women didn't smoke in public. If they smoked, they hid to smoke. Never did they smoke in public. She blamed Hollywood for opening the door for women to go and sit in bars. It used to be that the saloon was a man's private domain. But again, Hollywood made it fashionable for women to go to bars and to drink sociably and all. And she had a great hatred for the influence that Hollywood had for evil upon America. And she was determined that it would not have that evil influence upon her children. And thus we were never allowed to go to the shows. I even for a while thought myself deprived. But how I thank God that my mind and heart were not corrupted by that evil influence. For the foolishness of the world is bound up in the heart of the child. And when they see it, there is an attraction to it. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's so important. Keeping the right influences around your children. I hear so many people talking about hyperactive children today. And I have observed hyperactive children. I know they exist. But have you ever listened to the cartoon music? I can only sit so long with that jingle-jangle music in the cartoons, and I've got to leave the room or I'd be climbing the wall. And to me, it's no wonder that when the cartoons are over, the little kids are jumping over the couches and are all hyped up. Listen to the music sometime. Total hype. And these things have influences in the molding and the shaping of the ideas, the ideals, the goals of a child. God help that child, and God help the world, if we allow TV to become the major influence in the molding of our children's ideas and life. Train up the child according to his way. It's important to recognize that children have different temperaments, and that we, in training of the child, are aware of the difference of temperaments. It's amazing when you have four children how different those four children can be in their temperaments. Sometimes my son Chuck Jr. likes to talk about his childhood. And it appears as though he views a great part of his childhood in a very negative way. Many of the things that he says are quite derogatory. But it is interesting that his brother and two sisters, when they hear him, say, he must have grown up in a different home than we did. But the fact is, he's just a different temperament. And coming from the different temperament, he viewed things in a different way. Now, there are some children who lack completely in confidence. You've got to encourage them. You've got to tell them how good their coloring is, how well they did their work, and they need that constant encouragement. There are other children who are sort of sanguine and they feel they can do anything. They don't have to work at it. They don't practice. They can do anything. And you have to sort of hold the reins on those children. Our one little daughter used to say, I can do anything. I can paint. I can do ballet. I can sing opera. You know, I can do anything. And with her, there was that constant holding back the reins. With Chuck, we had to encourage him. But it's just different temperaments. Observing the difference in temperaments. You say to one of your children, oh, you're crazy. And they'll just laugh. But the other child will go in and be in a deep depression all week long. So it's important that you recognize that there are different temperaments of the child and you train them according to their way, according to the temperament that is there. Now, the whole text is, train up a child according to his way, or in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Somehow, We have a way of returning to our roots. Now, there may be a strain during those late teen years or even earlier teen years when the child is seeking his own identity and trying to just find out where he belongs in this world. But if they've had the proper input and the proper training as they were a child, they will return to their roots. When they are old, they will not depart from it. You say, well, you know ministers whose children are holy terrors. They've turned away from God. They are living the most horrible kind of life. Well, unfortunately, some ministers have been so busy trying to save the world that they didn't take the time to train their own children. A child needs training, and training takes time. And unfortunately, many people just let their children grow up hoping that they will just turn out all right, but never taking time to really train them. I know that you can cite cases of church-going parents with errant children. And I believe that one of the greatest things that a child needs to see in his parents is consistency. He needs to hear the right way, but then he needs to see it modeled. If he hears you sing about the wonderful peace that Jesus gives, and yet you are constantly filled with anxiety, turmoil, and you're worried about everything, they're going to question the peace that Jesus gives. There's got to be the consistency. If you teach them the importance of honesty, and then they hear you talking about how that you were able to take advantage of another person, and they know that you lied in doing so, they are going to come to believe that there are times when telling a lie has an advantage over the truth. And they will create their own ethic. So important that there is consistency in that child. And training involves consistency. As we said at the beginning, it's not just what you teach them, it's what they see that becomes an important part of the training. Parents, dads, you have a very heavy responsibility to train up your children in the way they should go. You also have a wonderful promise. When they are old, they'll not depart from it. Shall we pray? Father, as we look back upon our lives, we can see the areas where we could have improved. We can see the places that we failed. We often wish we could go back and rewrite history. We were so involved. We were so busy. We were working so hard, just trying to exist, that we failed, Lord, in some of the more important tasks. And yet help us, Father, to realize that all of these things of the material realm mean nothing and are nothing if our children do not walk with you. And so help us, Lord, to put into their lives that kind of input that will lead them toward eternal life, the life of the Spirit. Father, I thank you for the blessings that my children have brought into my life, and for the blessings that my grandchildren bring to me. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of hearing them pray, hearing them talk about you, watching them as they serve you, hearing them sing of their love for you. Lord, when they are old, may they continue to sing of that love. In Jesus' name, amen. It may be that some of you dads have been trying to tell your kids to live for the Lord, and you've been living for yourself. And you wonder why it is that they question the value of the Christian faith. It may be that as the Spirit of God is again probed and searched our hearts, as the proverb we were going to speak on, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord searches the hearts. And as the Spirit of God has searched your heart today, you can see places where you realize that you haven't been disciplined as you should be, and thus you have not set the right example before your children. It may be that you're aware of areas in your life where there are weaknesses, and you're trying to teach your children better than you are. Better that you become better by the power of God's Spirit. His power can make you what you ought to be. That you need to train them by example to love the Lord first. If you want to be the kind of dad, the kind of father that God would have you to be, you realize your shortcomings, I would encourage you, just go back to the prayer room. Just lay out your heart before the Lord. But God can make you the kind of father that will be a godly example to your children. They'll see your trust. They'll see your confidence. They'll see your faith. And they will not depart from it. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord guide and help and strengthen you as you train up your children in the way they should go. In Jesus' name.
May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to study His Word. If you would like more information about the Word for Today or a catalog of Pastor Chuck's tapes and books, simply write to The Word for Today, Post Office Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or call our toll-free lines. In California, the number to call is 1-800-282-WORD. From all other states, dial 1-800-272-WORD.